Hello, listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, sitting here with my co-host, David Sims, and we're coming to you from the BRS Consulting Studios here in Little Rock. You know, no matter how long you've been in business, there's always lessons to be learned from others' experiences. The purpose of our show is to be a constant stream of knowledge to our listeners on all topics related to business and entrepreneurship. Each week, we bring in a special guest to share with us what they've learned in their industry. We try to uncover what are their keys to success, and we ask what lessons they've learned in the times they've failed. Ultimately, we want to find out whether our guests will swim or sink in the tank. So, David, how you doing this week? I'm sure you're happy your Gators won again.
Yeah, it was scary, man. And my hog, but my hogs, I couldn't believe our hogs, man. Gosh. I mean, at least they're scoring now.
Yeah.
How the Bears doing?
They're pretty bad.
Are they bad? Oh, man. You just got to wait for the Warriors again.
They got a freshman quarterback. Warriors kick off tonight. For those who don't know and aren't regular listeners, I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. My 49ers stink because our quarterback got injured, and my alumni stink because our quarterback's a freshman.
Yeah. Well, it's been going good. I was listening to the news this morning just about the devastation down there with Hurricane Michael.
I saw some of those pictures. Wow.
It's horrific. It's just terrible. So I was thinking about that and just thinking, oh, boy, they're just going to have to rebuild. And I was thinking about our guest, too, and who is really committed to volunteering and giving back to the community. I'm looking forward to hearing more of his stories. So I think I'll just go ahead and jump in and introduce him.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Jim Alley is a tenured corporate executive turned serial entrepreneur. He's a corporate veteran over 20.
Wait a minute, I have to jump in. He's tenured. Does that mean they can't fire him?
Yeah, well, that means he was there for over a decade, I think. He was there at least 10.
At least 10.
I was going to say, he's not working for him anymore. They can't fire him.
That's right. He's a corporate veteran of over 25 years in the telecommunications industry, predominantly with Motorola and Altel Verizon. And he shifted gears at the age of 55 to become a serial entrepreneur. His tenure at Motorola positioned him well for the career change, realizing that his skill sets acquired over the years in corporate America transferred well to his entrepreneurial ventures. And he did he do one, not two, but three. I mean, he filled the bowl. I mean, he really was filling the cereal bowl real quick there.
Either that or he's ADD.
Or both.
Or both.
He became the owner of two Meineke car maintenance repair shops here in the Little Rock area, as well as a well-known and well-loved local coffee shop that now serves great food, beer, and wine.
Yes.
Guillermo's Coffee, Tea, and Roastery. Started that and bought that back in April of 17 and co-owns it with his 26-year-old son, Josh, who runs the operation. Sounds like a pretty good deal, you know.
Yes.
You're going to ownership and have your son run it all. We're trying to get Gordon to do that over here at BRS.
Yeah, Gordon, you take over BRS and just send us a check in the mail. Okay?
That's right. So Jim's committed to giving back, like I said, to the community. He supported numerous organizations over the years, including Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, Boy Scouts of America, youth baseball, soccer coaching and managing, and on it goes. He's going to talk a little bit more about that. But one of the things that we're looking forward to hearing about on the show is this most recent thing, the West Village Merchants Association, is just up the street here from the Shrimp Tank, around there at the 430 and west of 430 on Rodney Parham.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. Jim's been a life coach to many, a college instructor. He's the author of the book, Hey God, Is That You? Is that you doing your thing or just a coincidence?
Yes.
And that ties, I know, to a very significant event in your life.
Yes, sir.
I hope we can touch upon that during the show. He's also an ordained minister, been on several mission trips. He's committed to serving others, including his family of two sons, Josh at age 26, James at 29, and his wife, Julie, of 34 years. In fact, this Thursday is my 32nd anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. Congratulations for you making it 34. Well, anyway, Jim, it's great to have you on the show, and I see that your passion is you're unwinding at your log cabin in the Ouachita National Forest or catching a plane to explore as many countries as you can during your lifetime. So
absolutely.
We're looking forward to hearing about all that. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, it's good
guys.
To have you here.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Jim, just to kind of as a little icebreaker kind of for the audience to get to know you a little bit, why don't you share with our listeners the soul-searching story you went through about the move from Motorola to serial entrepreneurship? at the age of 55.
Well, it was just that, a lot of soul searching that took place. I mean, here you have been cast into an industry for all these years, and one of the things that's a little bit scary is the unknown. What is mm-hmm. that next step? What do I want to be when I grow up now right. at the age of 55, right? And, you know, I had been involved in the telecommunications industry for so long that I knew it very well. Mm-hmm. What I didn't know was what lied beyond that. Were my skill sets transferable? I think if I had to look back at the lessons learned through this whole process, that one struck me more than anything out there, is that what I had learned in corporate America over all these years, all those experiences, all those failures and successes were very transferable into the entrepreneurial world. But mm-hmm. but before I knew that, before I realized that, there was a lot of soul searching that took place.
And what we found is a lot of entrepreneurs that came from corporate America, they have a hard time making that jump from basically cashing the paycheck to
right.
making all the decisions and setting up the business plan and everything else. So did you run into any real hiccups when you first started?
I tell you, I had to take this from a very OCD perspective. And that is, I set the spreadsheet out and I looked at, like, do I want to stay in the industry? Do I want to open my own business? Do I want to be an ordained minister? Do I want to do a website business,
or
do I want to
yes.
do a franchise? Yeah, the
answer
is
yes. I did it all.
You know, guys, I really considered wearing that blue vest at Walmart too. Yeah. I mean, there was something pretty attractive about
little
that.
OCD and ADD
all together. And yeah, so it kind of started out on that venture.
As the people walk in the store, he's going squirrel.
So how's your acquisition of Guillermo's tie into your passion for serving young persons and volunteering? I know in your bio and some of our conversations, that's really something that's you're passionate about. But I know at Guillermo's in particular, you use that for that as a platform.
Well, I really do. Guillermo's was a unique opportunity that really presented itself. I think this is very much a God story and how it came across my table. Guillermo's has been a place where a lot of people have gathered over the years just as a meeting place. And as a meeting place, good things happen. It's where two or more people gather together, right? Whether it's a business meeting or a knitting club or a book club or what have you. And there seems to be the experience people that come in there, okay?
Right.
Which is very millennial based. I mean, millennials are looking, and I'm not just going to talk about millennials. It's
right.
it's everybody, okay? But they're looking
for... Yeah, I go there all the time. Man.
Yeah.
I try to pretend I'm a millennial.
And you're not a millennial.
Nor am I. That's right.
That's right. But they come for the experience, right?
Yeah.
And Guillermo's is an opportunity to be able to bring the experience, to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And to have my son come in, who is 26 years old, to be able to run this, was an opportunity for me to say, I didn't really just buy a business, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a project, okay?
Yeah.
And it was a project to bring my son along, you know?
Yeah.
Not everybody is cut out of the mold of, I'm going to go to high school, college, and get my white-collar job, you know? But there's other opportunities out there and that fit different people's personalities and their profiles. And
right.
this was an opportunity for Josh to really be able to shine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to come in and learn those types of responsibilities and be able to grow the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the last time you were in our office, we were just talking, and you talked about this new West Village Merchants Association.
Yes.
And I know you're really passionate about that. It comes through in your voice. So tell us a little bit. First, tell people what it is.
Okay.
And then kind of what you're hoping to accomplish through that in 90 seconds or less.
Okay. Very. Wow. Okay. So West Village is really a corridor up and down Rodney Parham Boulevard that uh-huh. brings all the merchants together to be able to create an area that we are in the process of revitalizing, restoring, and beautifying, mm-hmm. to be able to create a destination, a local destination, where people can come and shop, have multiple services that are out there, be able to do fine dining, all in an environment that really promotes the village type of atmosphere. You've heard of Hillcrest and Argenta and Soma and East Village. Well, now we're bringing West Village mm-hmm. To the marketplace. And so it's very well
understood. One of the things I didn't know before we talked
yeah.
was about East Village, and that East Village is what you're talking about out there by the Clinton Library
yes.
and that whole area, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit different from the standpoint. It's made up of a lot of bar type of
right.
the bars scene.
The restaurants.
We're kind of a little bit more diverse than that, but the name East Village is getting a lot of notoriety. Hey, Little Rock needs one more area called mm-hmm. the West Village, and that just allows both associations to really be able to prosper.
It's interesting. I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking about the vendors or the companies that are there, and a lot of them are past Shrimp Tank guests. We had Eric Buckner of 10 Fitness.
Yes,
he's right there.
That's right.
We've had Tommy Keat of Petite and Keat.
Right.
You know, I get my hair cut out there. And a good friend of ours, Gray Williams, with news is out there about
The news is out.
Career Gastroenterology of Arkansas.
That's
right
exactly
there
right.
In the old Kmart building. So
huge news there, folks.
Yeah,
huge.
So that's really exciting just to see all these people that we've had on and places we frequent starting to pull together and create a new culture, a little subculture there. That's exciting.
Well, we did recognize it was kind of on the fringe of going downhill, and we didn't want to allow that to happen. It's too important to the Little Rock community, and there's too many great merchants in there. Mm-hmm. And the momentum is there. Now let's just go give it that uplift that it deserves.
Right. Yeah, and it is.
I'm curious, if I can jump in, Jim, the area that Guillermo's is in, where the Chili's was, all that stuff, is that included in the renovation?
Right smack dab in the middle
of it. Okay, because I was thinking that seems to be the area that a lot of businesses are moving out, and Guillermo seems to be like that cornerstone that still brings people into
the area. We've become the destination.
There you go, right?
But there's really good news that's taken place in there. Grubbs is coming in. There's a new Indian restaurant taking over the Dixie Cafe. There's some plans to there's some plans to renovate the entire complex that's taken place there. So we're very encouraged by that.
And they've already done
too.
That across the street, kind of with the new Starbucks and the Marketplace area and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we've recognized some new businesses that have come in between. You know, you mentioned that Tommy Keat. Mm-hmm. They're very involved in our board and what's going on over at Petite and Keat. And Sauced has come in there. And then we have, you know, the Pantry. Has been around for a while, and Shorty Small has been around for a while, and Guillermo's been around for a while. So we've got the kind of the best of both worlds. We've got the old and the new coming in, and you bring a beautification and uplift to this. We're looking to really create a local destination for people to come shop.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And that PGA, the Premier Gastroenterology and Associates, is going to really transform since they bought that Kmart.
Well, there's no question about it. That was the big question mark up and down the whole corridor. Mm-hmm. Depending upon where the direction of that building went, really determined what our strategy was going to be. And I got to tell you, the folks at Premier have just been gems to work with over there. They're very supportive of our initiative. They're big sponsors behind an event that we have coming up on November 7th to bring all the merchants together. They're going to sponsor that. But just the overall plans to the entire, you know, medical community and the services community out there is phenomenal.
That's great. Well, the next segment, Jim, is our business critical thinking. And I've got the first question in that. And it's what's the number one business critical thinking skill you've had to develop as the owner of three companies that you didn't have when you left corporate America?
Great question. And I'm shooting from the hip on this one.
You're shooting from the hip on all of them.
On all these, I'm gathering that very quickly here.
That's right.
We talk about wearing multiple hats out there, but it's not just wearing multiple hats. It's wearing them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And being able to make a decision, you have to be a decision maker, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah. Right.
What I've learned, critical thinking is you make a decision, you have to be able to understand both the big picture, the small picture. You have to be able to understand strategy as well as tactical.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to do all this really instantaneously.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that you can't look back on some of your decisions. But the reality is, when you have three businesses that you're juggling, there's a lot to consider. And one of those is people's livelihoods, okay? Mm-hmm. And I mean that towards my employees more than anything. Is how's this going? It's not just Jim that owns the business. It's it's many families out there. That
you didn't have to pay for those employees at Motorola, did you?
No, I didn't. That was a whole,
it's
I just
a whole
got
different
the check.
Ball game, isn't it?
I just got the check. Now I got to give those checks out. Whole different ball game.
So what advice do you think you'd give for those who might be looking to invest in a franchise opportunity? I mean, I know Guillermo's isn't a franchise, but Meineke is.
Yeah, two different concepts entirely, no question about it. I think from a perspective of getting into the franchise business is, number one, you're buying a franchise, you're buying a name, okay? And that leans great credibility towards bringing customers into your marketplace, okay? Now, the main thing that you want to really look at is making sure that the amount of franchise fees and marketing fees, things of that nature, are in alignment with the amount of consumer traffic that's really driven into your business. Mm-hmm. Are they in balance with each other? Or or, you know, there's some new franchises out there. There's a franchisor, this is their way of being able to get money, and it almost becomes a sales organization to them. But there has to be the support organization that goes along with it too. Those that have been around longer tend to understand that a little bit more than those that haven't. And it's finding that right recipe and that right balance, because at the end of the day, if you're writing out anywhere from 8 to 11% of your bottom line to go towards marketing fees and franchise fees, that can be the difference between being profitable and not profitable.
Right. And if you're getting into a new franchise, they just might be after a franchise fee and they're not really all that interested in supporting you.
And so that becomes the critical questions to be asking right. other franchisees in your exploration out there before you ever sign the contract. Are you getting your money's worth from your franchise?
You jumped in right in franchise and a straight acquisition.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two? What have you learned from having those, you know, kind of juggling them both at the same time?
Almost like to narrow it down, what's the best thing about each one? And
yeah.
What's the worst thing about each one?
Okay, so the best thing about each one is as an owner of the business, a.k.a. Guillermo's, okay? I'm not tied to any type of controls as it relates to how do I want to market my product, how do I want to run my business model, okay? Mm-hmm. I can turn on a dime. You know, I can change my marketing program. I can change my advertising program. I can adapt my Facebook page. I can do all the things necessary to be able to drive my business. So that's the pro, okay? That's also the con when it comes to franchising, okay? But the pro to that, to offset that, is you have proven marketing materials, okay? Mm-hmm. You have campaigns that have been typically tested and driven
right.
and show a good ROI out there. Mm-hmm. Again, now the con flipping back, you can see we're doing a pro-con game here. Right. There's no guarantee when I do that at Guillermo's what it's going to be. There's
right.
less risk on the franchise side than on the ownership side. But, boy, I sure love being able to make those decisions and being able to figure it out.
Have you been able to learn from what Meineke does on the marketing side and kind of parlay that into anything for Guillermo's? I mean, did anything apply there?
You know, come on in and, you know, get your muffler fixed and have a cup of coffee.
Well, I will assure you this, that Meineke has the best coffee at any car care center in the entire state of Arkansas. I can give you that hint
at
right there.
At least your two do.
At least my two do. That is exactly right. That's right.
That's cool.
Hey,
yeah.
I want to take a quick minute to remind our listeners you can catch all of today's podcast, if you've missed part of it, at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com, and you can even catch all the past episodes of the Shrimp Tank there as well. It's also available through iTunes. We encourage you to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our shows. And each episode includes a post-show video covering the highlights, which you can view on our YouTube channel. So we're going to shift gears again on you, Jim, and we're going to move to what we call our Seeking Wisdom in shrimp cocktail section, since in keeping with our theme. And these would be like kind of like quick hitters, but we have a jumbo shrimp we throw in there too. So I'm going to ask you that one. What's the one juicy jumbo shrimp bit of wisdom from our listeners that you've gained from your transition to serial entrepreneurship? This was the thing that I really learned.
Don't be afraid. I mean, don't be afraid. I reference
or conquer your fear.
I'll say this: faith before fear. Okay, there is a lot of unknowns out there. Okay, and you can't be afraid to face that unknown. And I go back to what I referenced a little bit earlier: is that, you know, don't feel that you're pigeonholed out there because you've been in an industry for so long. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There are skill sets that you have learned that you don't realize are adaptable until you get into it. And one of the greatest things I learned is that they are adaptable. Okay, in fact, it gives you a chance to really exercise without having management control above you.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you, all those gut instincts that you had, all those intuitions that you had that you wanted to implement but you couldn't in a corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Now you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit liberating. It really is. There's a great freedom that goes into that, but the uncertainty before I ever learned that, and that was the key part in transition, is I was afraid of the unknown. Okay, get into it and roll those sleeves up, and once you start that march down there, don't look back. Okay, have faith, not fear, and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And pay attention to the numbers too, right?
Well, that goes along with it like 80% of the time. So yeah, we haven't even talked about the numbers perspective.
Yeah, your faith is a lot stronger when the bottom line
is
in the black.
Yes, right.
Yes, it is.
That's right. Now, Jim, I know you've had a lot of personal adversity, and I'd like for you to share with our listeners about that, what you've been through personally, But also, what have you learned from it, and how has it helped you become a better business owner and boss?
Great question. Well, there has been a journey that I've been on. I guess life is a journey, right, David? But, you know, it's beginning in 2010, there became some health issues out there that were very life-threatening. Mm. And, to make a very long story short, I was literally given a death sentence. I was said, son, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. Well, the reality is I did make it, okay? Mm-hmm. But it took a lot of good medical advice. It took a lot of faith. It took a lot of prayer. And it put me on a journey that said, hey, keep the fight going, okay? Mm-hmm. Keep the fight going. So I was in the corporate world when this first began, David, okay? Mm-hmm. I was with Motorola at the time that the first diagnosis came in. And I got on the path of health that was just doing real well, okay? And I had rebounded from being diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, okay, mm-hmm. to being able to go on and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe that's not quite what the diagnosis was. You're going to be okay. You can live with this for a while, okay? Just, do what's right. So I'm doing what's right. Well, I came down with a viral attack mm-hmm. that took place in 2014. And this virus attack on my liver was one that was actually truly my death sentence. Okay. There was no coming back from. This is the one that when the doctor said, son, I'm sorry, there is nothing we can do. There was nothing that could be done. Mm-hmm. To make a real long story short, from August 1st until August 21st, I went through a battery of tests that actually got me onto the transplant list to where I was able to have a transplant. Okay. This is a miracle in and by itself. I'm just going to be very forthright here in that these things don't typically happen, okay? Most people will go on a transplant list and wait years and years for a transplant, okay? Right. Others will never see the end of the day for a transplant, right. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that was really the prognosis I was given, let alone to have one found, because I went on the list on the 15th, found on by the 21st.
Wow.
And the doctor said that I wouldn't have lived to be the 22nd. Okay, I wouldn't have lived to see the 22nd. Wow. Okay, that's how bad this virus had attacked. So anyway, that's the story in a very short version, and the lessons learned from that are numerous. I can't really begin to describe what it means to be able to fight. Okay,
yeah.
But more importantly, once you have fought and you've seen the other side, that now it's all about give back. Okay.
Right.
I believe in my faith that God left me here for a reason, and that is to be able to give back to others. He wasn't done with me yet. He said, you have a story to tell. And that story is one that you can go out there and encourage people, okay, to give them inspiration to say, hey, you can be on your deathbed and you can go through a corporate, when your corporation lays you off and then you have to start a new business.
Right.
You can take all these adversities and conquer them. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you go about doing that? Well, that's, hours upon hours could be discussed with that.
Sure.
But that, I believe, was the greatest thing that the gift that I was given was a second chance.
Yeah.
A second chance to inspire, to be able to coach, to be able to mentor. And I really like to focus that on the things that I do, such as Junior Achievement and Aurora, creating organ donor awareness, mm-hmm. being able to give my son an opportunity to run a shop, being involved in all those other activities.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I think is just how can I inspire?
Yeah, yeah, and I could see your employees benefiting from that. It probably just oozes out of you into the culture of your businesses. Yeah,
hopefully so.
Okay, Jim, we're going to enter into a real fun part of the podcast here, which is plead the fifth. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you questions that we hope you refuse to answer. Because if you refuse to answer and plead your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, we get a point. If you answer it, you get a point.
And if we win, we get a lifetime supply of Guillermo's coffee. All right, wine, unlimited. Open the tap.
We know what's at stake here now.
And if we lose, you get one of these lovely
shrimp tank tumblers.
Tumblers.
Awesome.
Actually, you get one of those anyway.
Yeah. All right, so remember, you complete the fifth year. First question, what are your margins on coffee sales at Guillermo's?
Oh, my gosh. you assume there are margins.
Is that a plead the fifth?
I think so. That was my way of saying it.
Okay, well, I got one for you. I got one for you. What's the number one proprietary secret you can't share about Meineke?
If it's proprietary, that makes it easy to plead the fifth.
We threw in two sandbags because we usually lose. Yeah. So
we're just having fun.
Okay, so be honest now. Does your wife like you more now that you're a serial entrepreneur, or does she prefer the Motorola gym?
Well, I got to say this. It's almost virtually the same, because when I was with Motorola, I was on the road literally 4 weeks out of the month, four nights out of the week. Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. As a serial entrepreneur, I'm literally gone 16 hours a day. Okay. So that bottom line is, that means Jim's out of the house. She loves it.
She's happy.
She's happy.
She's happy.
Happy
way,
wife, happy life.
Yeah. Rich has a funny story he tells about what he's glad.
Years ago, early in my career, I had a lot of clients that were United Airlines pilots. And so in that industry, as a captain, you have to retire at 60. FAA says you have to. So we know the retirement age. So we were getting ready, and this one client, he was about to retire, and I looked at his wife, and I said, so what do you think about this retirement stuff? And she goes, I don't know, twice the husband and half the income doesn't sound so good to me.
Bad recipe right there. That's right.
All right, keeping in the family, what's Josh's number one complaint about being your business partner in Guillermo?
Me coming into the shop.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Inevitably.
I like seeing you in the shop.
The customers love it. Josh doesn't. Okay? That one was easy to answer. That was too easy to answer to say. Yeah.
Right. Okay, last one that's kind of Josh-centered. How do you get away with having Josh do all the work?
I am the father. But here's the deal. He'll say that he does all the work, right? Yeah, and the reality is he kind of does.
Well, Jim, you fared pretty well. I would say that you got three and we got the two sandbag questions.
You
got,
yes, right. Yes. Now you get your tumbler.
All right. All right.
So, Jim, our sponsor, BRS Consulting, refers to themselves as rehirement, not retirement advisors. And by that, we basically mean is that our sponsor basically means that the goal really is not to retire and then go collect seashells at the seashore. It's really to, give back. And, this is, by nature to you. And the fifth principle, the end game of the planning process for our sponsor, BRS Consulting, is to be a generous steward and leave a lasting legacy. So what legacy goals do you have for your retirement years?
That's a great question. I've been asked that before, and it's given me a chance to really reflect on it. Some initial reactions, and I would say this was probably before my journey, that I talked about briefly, is my legacy was to make sure that I left my family well off, It was to be able to make sure they had plenty of money in the bank and to be able to maintain a lifestyle that they were able to maintain when I was around. Mm-hmm. That's not the legacy I want to live. I'm not saying it's not a part of it. I mean, finances is important, but I would much, much rather have my legacy be along the lines of he showed me the way. Mm-hmm. There's another gentleman that is very close to me called Jesus Christ who showed me the way. Mm-hmm. And I want to be that individual that shows others the way, not comparing myself to Christ by any means of the imagination, but to be able to show others and inspire others and to say that, he was the good guy, And I think that means more important to me than any financial dollar that could ever be so,
BRS Consulting likes to quote R.G. Letourneau, who gave away 90% of his money, and he said, my goal is not to leave the world to my children, but to leave my children to the world.
That's great. Yeah. I love it. Good quote. I love it. So. Absolutely.
That's it in a nutshell.
Hey, Jim, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. For folks that want to get in touch with you, maybe want to learn more about Guillermo's, and maybe they've never been there, maybe they want to know where your Meineke franchise is. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you? Maybe they actually want to pick the brain of a serial entrepreneur, or maybe they want someone to show them the way.
That's great. I would be honored to do both. I'm pretty Facebook friendly out there, so you can always go to Guillermo's Coffee House on Facebook, and then you can contact Meineke on Facebook as well, too, by going to Meineke North Little Rock or Meineke Conway. Those are the two locations that I have. And both of those would be able to get in touch with me. Feel free to IM me as well, too, to send a private message.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on the show today. For our listeners, make sure to catch all the post-show wrap-up videos on our YouTube channel. If you want to hear past guests, visit our website at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com or subscribe to it through iTunes. And remember, to become a shark in the business world, we all start out a shrimp.